You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
We're back. I'm Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, September 3rd, episode 3767, brought to you today by Poseidon Animal Health. Good morning, horse people.
Ah, Wednesday, the day we cover Glenn's favorite topic, horse health. And Jamie makes you feel better about yourself with the latest weird news from around the world. Happy Wednesday.
It is good to be back after our five-day weekend. You know, Jamie, I could get used to five-day weekends. I really like that. That was kind of nice.
Lucas, Mom, I don't want to go back to school today. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Have you already been in school for a whole week and had a holiday? So, sorry. I don't feel sorry for you.
Dr. Aaron is back today for another session of Ask the Vet to answer listener questions. We also have another doctor. Dr. Plaskin is on to tell us about the true story of Bella, the rescued gypsy vanner who survived a Cat 5 hurricane. And where he went, and then she went on to write a children's book about it. It's a fascinating story. Plus, we have some mighty weird news coming up. And then in our Auditor Post Show, we're going to be joined by our resident artist, Jessica. She's going to join us for the post show. We always love having Jessica on. And she got one of Jamie's horses that is causing her problems. So I think she's complain to you about it.
It wasn't me. She's adopted it years ago. Not my fault.
Do you know how you have a good horse show in North America, Jamie?
Just have one at this point.
You get 98 horses to fly from Europe for it.
Oh,
when have you ever heard of 98 horses flying to North America? This happens to be Calgary, Canada, for the 50th anniversary of Spruce Meadows Masters Tournament. Spruce Meadows does look like a cool place. It really does. Mm-hmm. And it's a very big show every year, but this is a record. They've never had 98 horses fly in from Europe for a horse show. Now, it's not just any horse show. This is the biggest they've ever had. It's September. It starts today, goes through the weekend, and they're celebrating their 50th anniversary of Spruce Meadows. There's one class that's $5 million international, presented by Rolex.
Wow. Is that a show jumping?
Yes. It's the largest single-day event prize in Canada history. $5
million. Unbelievable.
There's a reason 98 horses have flown in from Europe.
Yeah.
It's an impressive roster. They have horses coming in from Ireland, Germany, Brazil, Belgium, the United States, obviously the Americas. And it's going to be, it sounds, every time we've talked to, and we've had people from Spruce Meadow on before, it just sounds like a fun event. It sounds like a party and, you know, a party with a lot of prize money. So there you go. That's happening this week. We're up in Canada. Show our Canadian friends some love, but good luck up there. I've never heard of 98 horses. I don't even think 98 horses came in for the WEG in Lexington. So.
Well, we'll have to find out who won the coveted $5 million prize.
Yeah, so anyway, let's go right to Daily Winnies today. I have a bunch of them, actually. I have a very special belated happy birthday to Molly Sherwood, who wrote to me and said, "You've never done my birthday." And I said, "Well, we're not friends on Facebook. You never accepted my friend request." So that's how I know about your birthday. So for new auditors, I'm going to mention a couple here. If I send you a friend request, it's not that I'm stalking you. It's the only way I know your birthday. So if you don't hear your birthday, probably we are not friends. But Molly, I apparently have missed you 3 years in a row. So happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday.
He's the worst.
We have new auditors too, Courtney and Ginny. Welcome to both of you. Courtney's was a gift. That gives me an opportunity to mention that. She got it as a gift from another auditor. You can gift auditor. You can make an a person an auditor by gifting it through Patreon, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, worked out, went out how to say that.
Yeah, I didn't know how to say that. But she's now, she has now gifted two gifts, so to her friends who listen to the show. So welcome, Courtney and Ginny also. We also had some new horses, Jamie. Judy, one of our auditors, she said, I may have done a thing today. Meet my newest addition to the family, Waylon, a seven-year-old South Steens Mustang. And by the way, that Ashley had a South Steens Mustang. So, yeah, so congratulations, beautiful. Judy. And it was a cool-looking horse. Susie said, God, you're going to be blamed for so much stuff in this life, Jamie.
I love it.
Susie said, because we are marching toward death, welcome to the farm, QD Cat, which must be a quarter horse of some kind.
QD Cat, it's got to be a quarter horse, but marching towards death, way to go, Susie.
We really need the marching towards death t-shirts for Christmas, don't we? We really do.
Yeah.
I think we start with marching towards death, and then we have different sayings below the marching towards death. What do you think?
I think that, yeah, marching towards death by the horse, marching towards death,
by the car, the by the boat,
by the farm.
Yeah.
But I would like to also, like, we need like a marching towards death sounder. And I wanted to have, like, you know, when Darth Vader is walking down the hall and there's like, and like that. And then we need to have, like, just do it, you know, like some Nike.
I could probably get
like,
AI to make it.
Yeah.
All right. I'll work on that.
Let's do that.
Marching toward death sounder made by AI. Perfect. Then we won't get sued. I like that.
It's maybe a first time I'm going to give a daily whinny to an auditor's husband. Maybe first for me, not for you. So last night, I noticed that Homer, I guess it was yesterday afternoon, Homer was coughing. And I'm like, you know, hell stuff with Homer just sends me for a loop, you know? And so he's coughing. I'm like, oh my God, the cancer's in his lungs. Like, oh yeah, you know me, like that's me.
Welcome to everybody like us who have said you have cancer. If you've ever heard that in your life, you think everything after that is cancer.
Yeah, because Homer has finished his regular chemo for his lymphoma, but then he started coughing. I'm like, oh my God, it's in his lungs. Like, it's the worst. And you know me, I'm going to call the vet and be like, everything's dying. Like, it's the worst. But I didn't call the vet yesterday because it was like after hours and I thought that was rude. And then in the middle of the night, Winx, my little border collie, started coughing. And she's two and Homer's three. And I'm like, uh-oh. So I'm giving my daily whinny to Dr. John Otto, our auditor Patty's husband, who's my small animal vet, because record, I texted a small animal vet at 7 a.m. this morning, and I would like to thank him for texting me back. Basically, no good deed goes unpunished, Glenn. And do you know why my dogs have a cough?
Why?
Because I brought a shelter dog home for the 36-hour staycation, and now my dogs have kennel cough.
Oh, no.
You know, I vaccinated them. Just those two. I guess Danny's, she's 12. Her titers are probably high enough. And I vaccinated her a lot more for it when we were in Arizona because there were so many neighbor dogs. But I'm like, my dogs don't see it. So this is the first spring I did not vaccinate them kennel cough.
Oh, no.
And I just was like, they're not boarded. They don't go to dog parks. They're just on my farm. Like, it'll be fine. No, I bring a dog from the kennel to my house. And now two of my dogs have kennel cough.
Is it antibiotics? How do you get rid of it?
Well, I don't know. We're going to find out because I'm meeting with Dr. Otto this afternoon. But you can't bring your dogs into the hospital because it's so highly contagious that I'm like, hey, doc,
You have to meet you in the parking lot?
I don't know what we're going to do. I think he's going to make some calls, basically. But he told me, like, there's a over-the-counter cough medicine that I can get the dogs. It's so weird how many things transpose from human to dog medicine. So I got to go to CVS right after the show and pick up that. And then I think I get some sort of steroids or antibiotics or something. I did Google it. And, you know, everybody's going to, we need chest x-rays and all. I'm not doing all that. I know what it is. I know it's kennel cough. I brought a dog from the shelter to my house and infected my own animals.
You know, we're going to talk with a guest later today about bad timing. There's bad timing. And you're going away, so you got somebody else take care of the coffee dogs.
Here, Ginger. By the way, just yesterday, Ginger's dog was playing with Winx, and so I had to call Ginger.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
like, hey, by the way, Finn is going to get kennel cough. Sorry.
Ginger needs an award.
Oh.
Hey, we had a great time yesterday. We hadn't been, you know, one of the reasons we moved to Florida, you know this because we were doing the show back then, was we loved Disney. And we had Disney season passes. We'd go twice a month. And then it got complicated to do Disney because you needed all kinds of crap and we just couldn't show up anymore. So we dropped them. So we haven't been in 6-7 years. And yesterday we went to Disney Studios to see all the new Star Wars stuff with friends of ours who we discovered we've known for 30 years. He was my first geek on our first website 30 years ago when websites were archaic.
Geek, you mean he was like a tech guy,
16-year-old
like
computer wizard. He was 16 at the time. And we're still friends 30 years later. And we were talking about that. It's so cool when you have friends that if you haven't talked in a year or you haven't talked in 2 years or you haven't talked in two weeks, you can get together and it's like you've never, ever skipped a beat. Mm-hmm. There's very, I think we get very few friends like that in life, don't we?
I just think like the people like that, it's just minus small talk. You just don't have to have small talk.
No,
you just get right back into where you were.
You're absolutely right. And there's no negative there, right? I think with those people, there's not the negative there. It's just you get along and you're just going to get along. And you're doing it
by
this weekend
way,
with those people, right? Same thing.
I am, yeah. So this weekend, we're going to go to a retirement ceremony of one of Chad's very best friends in the Air Force and had become great friends of ours. And so we're going to go see a retirement and celebrate somebody who has 30 years of flying F-16s and F-35s. So it's going to be cool.
You know, and I think that when you get together with people like that, it reminds you to not take people like that for granted, that those people exist, and there are very few of them. Kayla came over, too. Kayla, who hosted the show jumping episode here, Kayla Benny, who's also a show jumper, obviously. We hadn't seen her in a long time. She came over to see the farm and spent the day the other day, and it was so much fun. You know, it's just like we'd seen her 2 minutes ago. So
a couple things.
Appreciate your friends
in.
Is what I'm saying.
First of all, yeah, this is the time where we would play that sounder of the marching towards death, you know, like here comes.
Yes.
And then the other thing I would like is if you could cut out that part that you said, you're absolutely right, Jamie. I cut that out.
Full quote, another full quote.
And that will be my ringtone for
okay,
the day.
There you
Thank
go.
You.
There you go. You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right, let's go to our first guest today. She's an author and she's also a human doctor of human behavior. And we're going to talk to her about a fascinating story that happened with her brand new first horse the first week she got it. Our first guest up today is a doctor and an author and somebody who did an amazing thing for a horse, then got in trouble. This story is amazing. And so Dr. Plaskin wanted to have you on. Now, you're a PhD, but you're a people doctor, right? A human behavior doctor?
Yeah, actually, I'm a licensed mental health counselor. And I'm also an equine psychotherapist. So that's interesting in itself, in that I work with people. But we utilize, I guess utilize is not the good word, but the horses play a role in the therapy.
Oh, good.
It's all ground therapy. So, yes, I am an educator as well. I got many roles over here.
Yeah, you do. You do. I think it's interesting because a lot of the equine therapy people that we've interviewed over the years have started out in horses, not in people. So you went the other direction, which I think is kind of cool. And it was after that, after you went that other direction and said, and you deal a lot with kids too. Let's clarify that because we're going to be talking about a book here that is a children's book, but we want to get to the story that led to the book first because you decided you needed a horse to do equine therapy. And then what happened?
Yeah. So I'm a rookie horse person, and I came across equine psychotherapy when I was getting my second master's degree in clinical mental health. And I wanted to utilize, you know, therapy, but I didn't want to sit behind a desk and do talk therapy. Talk therapy is great, but I know there are a lot of benefits with dogs, and I have a great dog. And I thought, oh, dog therapy. But then I met a person that was getting her license to do equine therapy. And I thought, equine therapy, I love horses. I was a horse girl growing up. And I researched it. I volunteered for about almost 3 years before I decided to adopt Bella. She's the horse I adopted. And 3 weeks before I adopted her from Southern California. And she was being trailered all the way across to Southwest Florida.
And what breed is Bella?
She's, well, in the U.S., she's a Gypsy Vanner.
Oh, yeah, okay. You like hair and a lot of work, apparently.
It's a lot. It's a labor of love for sure. Labor of love for sure. And I picked her because of the demeanor of Gypsy Vanners. Very friendly, family friendly, very docile, calm. I researched a lot of different types of breeds, and I came across a Gypsy Vanner who I love.
And you knew you'd have a lot of kids helping to brush her endless hair. This is perfect.
Yes, yes. Groom her anytime you want. and I adopted her. She was actually supposed to be trailered. She was trailered a week before she was supposed to be, which is ironic in and of itself. And when she was trailered to the island, we live in on an island in Southwest Florida. She showed up a week early, and I wasn't there at the time because she was early. And I was actually in New Jersey doing my first triathlon, but I was trying to get there. And the hurricane, we saw that a hurricane was coming to Florida, but it was going to Tampa. And Tampa's pretty far away from where we are. And it was going to Tampa right up to just about 12 to 15 hours before we were notified on the island that it was going to be a direct hit.
And this was Hurricane Ian in 2022. Jamie, yes. That one was a Category 5. It's not good.
Yeah, it was a Category 5 hurricane. And again, it was going to go to Tampa. Did our best to try to get back. And you couldn't. The airports were closed. It was crazy. And we couldn't get back. And so that played into a lot of my own emotions and feelings because I just adopted a horse. I'm not there. She was at a great barn. I had a great barn manager. But, you know, the guilt that you feel because you're not there. And I didn't expect her that soon as well. So the
that's just bad timing after bad timing there.
It really was. Yeah. So the hurricane ended up, and I said to my husband, too, I turned to him. It hit on a Tuesday. It hit on a Tuesday. It was September 28th. So the 3 year anniversary is coming up. And I said to my husband on that Sunday, I said, it's going to turn and hit us directly. He's like, no, it's going to Tampa. Well, on Monday afternoon, we got the notice that everyone had to evacuate. And me being a new horse owner, I relied on the horse people that were at the barn. You know, I thought, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to the horses? What's going to happen here? And they just assured me that, you know, that the horses will be fine. You know, everything will be okay. And then the hurricane hit directly. It hit our island directly. It hit the whole area of Pine Island and Fort Myers. It was catastrophic. We have pictures up until, of course, the cameras went out. We know that Bella and the other horses were in about four feet plus of water. Mm. The only bridge to the island was damaged. You could not get on the island. It was severely damaged. Actually, they're still working on the bridge.
I was going to say, that's the one that came down completely, right?
Yeah. Sanibel is not too far from us. That bridge had a lot of damage. Our bridge, it's just a one lane getting on and off the island. It's still actually being repaired today. You can go on the island now, but it's still being fixed. So the hurricane hit, of course, and we tried to get there. My husband and I ended up flying into Miami and renting a car because, again, the airports, everything was closed. We got to there. We couldn't get on the island, but we found a kid who we gave some money, and he took his boat And we went, to the island. It took a normal trip from where we found him would be about 20 minutes to get to the island. It took us 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Because of the damage. I went through Superstorm Sandy in New Jersey and was, experienced it firsthand. There's no words for Hurricane Ian. It was catastrophic. The island is still in the area down there is still trying to come back from it. You go to Pine Island and you'll still see so much damage.
Okay, we'll get to the horses. Now you got me on the edge of my seat.
I'm so sorry. Every time I tell the story, it just brings it back. I got to the island, damage everywhere. We couldn't get in the garage, of course. And we ended up breaking into our own house, which was severely damaged. Got my bicycle and rode to the barn. And, Bella was safe, but her pastor mate, unfortunately, didn't make it.
Jeez.
The other horses were okay. You could just tell there was a sense of something really big happened here. And it was, of course, very difficult. But the horse world really showed up. It was amazing how much help we received. You have to understand, we were on an island. We couldn't get food. There was no water. There was no electricity, nothing. So for 17 days before the bridge was fixed, we had to boat in everything, all the food, all the constant. It was just constant. It was around the clock, trying to keep the livestock and the horses alive. They weren't the only horses on the island. There was actually quite a bit of livestock on the island. And Bella made it. And, she just landed in Florida, and that was her experience.
Welcome to Florida, Bella. I lived in California before I came to here.
And the crazy thing is that the fires that were in California, that's where she came from.
Oh, geez.
I said to my husband, Bella, she would have either experienced the fires or would have experienced this hurricane. It's just amazing to me. And her resilience, the resilience of Bella was incredible. And I thought to myself, I'm having a really difficult time managing everything I'm feeling going through this hurricane, the flood of emotions and the flood of feelings. How are the kids doing with this? How are the kids managing this? And not even just the kids, the adults as well. And that's when a few people said to me, you need to write a book, and you need to write a book about Bella and her journey. And so I sat down right away and I started writing. And as God would have it, he just centered me around certain people, and one thing led to another. And I got an editor out of New York City, a fantastic editor, a well-known children's editor, and gave her my initial story of Bella. That was November of 2022. So the hurricane happened in September. And she said, this is fantastic, but I don't want you to write a book about Bella's travels. I want you to do a series, and I want you to break down the emotions, because there's so much emotion in here. And that's how Bella and Bird, the Emotion Explorers, started.
And this is about a boy, right? A little boy?
Well, the first book, I have different characters in my book. So the first book is a little boy named Henry. And, he comes storming into the pastor all upset because he can't have something. And so Bella is, supposed to mimic equine psychotherapy. So she's like the wise horse. And Bird, who actually does exist, he lives in Bella's stall, and he has made nests with Bella's hair.
And it's an actual bird?
An actual bird, yes. And he lives in her stall. And he has made hair with her nest. And that's how I created Bird, because I needed a wisecracking humor into these very difficult books to write. And that's how Bird was born. So I took Bella and I took her little wisecracking sidekick Bird and created the Bella and Bird, the Emotion Explorers series.
Well, and so these really are kids therapy books done in a kid's book way.
Yep, in a kid's book way, but it's great. Every adult that reads my book says, I needed this book. I need this book. Because my books are more as a they're a tool. And I always say, if you have younger kids, parents need to know how to manage their emotions first so that they can role play that to the kids. So my books show that, you know, my books show tools in the book. It walks you through a story, a fun, relatable story. And then it walks you through tools on how to, you know, what is anger? The first book is on anger. What is anger? How do we manage it? And what are the tools that can help us do that?
Well, this is great because it goes back to obviously what you did for a living before horses. It kind of ties it all together. It's perfect. And I see there's another one coming out too. It's going to be on, the next one's on sadness.
Yeah, the next one is on sadness. Bella and Bert explore sadness. My little girl, Molly, it's a little girl in that book. And she's experiencing, again, you know, when you write the kid stories, you have to. Now, this, I just became a children's author. So through this whole process, I learned how to write children's books as well. So you have to write a relatable story that most people can relate to. And with sadness, a lot of people say, oh, grief or someone, you know, dying or something. But not everyone can relate to that, especially kids. So in that story, Molly experiences her friends not wanting her to play with them. And so that's a very relatable story for kids.
And of course, kids' books, half of it is the illustration. So give your illustrator a shout out because it's very well done. They're very cute. Oh,
Leah is fantastic. Just love Leah. She just brought, you know, it's very hard because Bella is a horse who's, you know, she's very big. And to do that in illustrations, plus a little teeny bird and then an 8-year-old child. And to do that is extremely difficult. I also have a fantastic art director, Seminar, who, you know, worked with Leah to get the dimensions correct. And then you have the pastor scenes that are very long. So overall, yes, they did a fantastic job.
This is great. I love this. I love that you were able to combine all your passions into one. That's cool, too. And get Bella in it. I have a picture that I was sent of you and Bella together that I'll use in the show notes, and we'll put links to the books here. This is obviously, we're coming up to holidays, the perfect stocking stuffers, right? So you can look for that. And I'm so glad Bella survived the storm. How harrowing is that? Oh, my God. Living here and having gone through several hurricanes, I know exactly what you were feeling. It's all of us do. It's
like, right. Oh gosh. Yes.
I get
it. Just hope that they stay away.
I want to end on this too. The website is bellabirdbooks.com and it is the cutest website. It's very well done for an author website. Not all of them are great. This is very well done.
So thank you so much.
Who's ever helping you with this is doing a good job because there's lots of fun stuff you can do on there. It's not just about the books. So mm-hmm. I would recommend the website. What ages would you target this?
We targeted at 5 to 10-year-olds. Okay. And again, 5-year-olds, you know, you would sit and read it with them, you know, the tools in it, role model the tools.
Good. Mm-hmm. BellaBirdBooks.com. Thanks for joining us, Doc.
Thank you for having me.
Well, before we talk to Dr. Aaron, I have got to, I've sent you multiple recordings, because I would like to replace the Daily Whinny sounder from Baby Zara's Whinny to Baby Butter's Whinny. And the reason is I've sent you so many of them because he whinnies all the damn time. Oh my God. All the time. He sees me, he whinnies. Remember, he's 5 months old. He sees me, he whinnies. You bring him in, he whinnies. He's in the stall next to somebody, whinnies at that horse.
No fake whinnies here.
God forbid you take a horse out and ride it, and he whinnies the entire time you're riding. It does not matter who it is. So I want to play this one and see if you think it would work for my daily whinnies.
All right, I haven't heard
Otherwise,
it yet.
I'll get more.
Oh, yeah, I can make that work. It's so squeaky.
It's so squeaky. It is like, and I mean, he doesn't just whinny. He, it's a whole lot of noise. So I've got about 4 hours of whinnying that I've recorded. I kind of thought that might be the best.
Okay. I can clean it up a bit. Butters. I love that you named this horse Butters. I really do. I think that's the best is the Butters name.
What it has done now is it has caused Lucas and I to watch some South Park episodes. Now I pre-screen them.
I was going to say, are you pre-screening?
Oh, yeah. I don't mind the language. He's allowed to watch language as long as he doesn't say the words. And I've said that since the beginning. I'm like, you can watch PG-13 movies as long as you don't say PG-13 words. And he's been real good about it. But I do pre-screen them. Last night we watched Imagination Land and I was like, oh, forgot about that part.
As a parent, you do forget because it doesn't bother you. But then you think, oh, God, I forgot that was even in there.
It is crazy. You see things through the eyes of a child. I'm like, these people are disturbed. Like, who would think of something like that? Oh, but anyway, so yes, we watch a lot of Butters episodes and mostly all Butters because it's Butters and he's the super sweet. He doesn't cuss. He says, oh, hamburgers. You know, like, it's so cute.
Respect my authority. Respect
that's
my authority.
Cartman. That's
I know that's Cartman. That's the only quote I can do. All right, let's go to Dr. Raven.
I'm pleased to welcome back to the show one of our listener favorite guests, Dr. Aaron Roddy from Poseidon Animal Health. Hey, Dr. Aaron.
Hello, how are you?
Fantastic. Now you're in Ocala, Glenn is in Ocala, and I'm in Oklahoma. And yesterday I was picking my son up from his tennis lesson, right? So he plays tennis at OU, goes to like a kid's kind of camp lesson thing. And I'm wearing a horse on my shirt. And this guy comes up to me and he's like, hey, do you have horses? And I said, well, yes, I do. He's like, oh, well, I know all about horses. I was like, cool. That's fantastic. And he goes, yeah, I'm from Ocala. I was like, that was it?
Fair enough. I mean, like, this is the horse capital of the world, unless you ask Lexington. So, you know,
that's what I actually said to him. He goes, I'm from the horse capital of the world. It's Ocala. And I was like, you could argue that with people in Kentucky. And he was like, what? Apparently, if you're born in Ocala, you have an inherent knowledge of horses, which I did not know about.
Amazing. I need to meet this guy because I feel like I still don't know everything about horses. So I definitely need to get his number and he could help me out for sure.
Well, you are here to help some other people out. And that is our listeners, because every month when you come on, we ask some listener veterinary medical questions that they might have and you come on and answer them. So, I mean, beside firing away, anything going on with you and your world before we get started?
I mean, I'm sure going to try to answer these questions. I now feel a little bit like I'm letting you down because you know the guy that knows everything about horses and you're not having him
Maybe
on.
Maybe we should call him. He'd probably be a better guest, I think. Yeah.
I now feel a lot of pressure. But, you know, things are good with me. We've got some good weather in Ocala this week, so we will take that. And getting ready for a busy fall, I'm going to be doing a lot of appearances around the country at different expos and getting out and meeting the people and hopefully answering lots of good veterinary questions. We love a question.
Fantastic. Well, I know I will have a list waiting for you when I see you in April in Kentucky, because I mean,
you sure will. It'll be a long week.
Well, the first question, and it is advice. Oh, come on now. Obviously, we know what Aaron's answer is going to be. I have advice for promoting gut health. My horse has been dewormed, gets plenty of turnout, has a fairly stress-free life, has access to quality forage, but still has loose poop. I've had him allergy tested and we've eliminated all the triggering consumables. Okay, where do you start?
Where's the question mark, right? I did choose to answer this question because we know that gut health is close to my heart. And I think the reason I picked this one is I just wanted to point out that some of the disconnect I see with a lot of horse owners, and I've been guilty of it myself, is that we think our horses' lives are stress-free, maybe because we don't work them that hard, maybe because we think they have access to great turnout, and maybe they've even got friends, or maybe they live in a nice cushy stall. But horses, unless they're living how they were designed in the wild, they are under physiological and psychological stress. So if they have a limited kind of forage, maybe this horse gets access to quality forage, but it's only one type. Maybe he does get a lot of turnout, but the turnout doesn't have a variety of grasses in it, or he doesn't have friends, anything like that. He's been dewormed. Deworming is actually stressful for the microbiome. It's also entirely possible that he just doesn't process the food he's getting fed all that well. So I kind of wanted to point out that from our perspective, their life might seem really stress-free, not sitting at a computer 8 to 10 hours a day, maybe not exercising a lot. But for the horse, in compared to what they were designed to deal with, there can still be a lot of stress. And that comes down to the microbiome. I know we talk a lot on the show about gut health. I love talking about gut health. I love talking about the microbiome. And those bacteria, the fungi, the viruses that we can't see, even if our horse looks completely happy and we think we're doing the best thing for them, they can still be stressed. And that can have nothing to do with you. That can have to do with what happened to the horse when they were born, what they did, what they inherited from their mother, what happened in their life before they met you. And those changes can take a long time to fix if we can ever fix them. So what I would recommend to this client, if she thinks she's done everything she can and she's providing the best life that she can, would be to look into some gut support. And obviously, that's why I work for Poseidon Animal Health, because I believe in gut support and I think we make the best ones. So for this horse, I definitely look at our digestive HP, and particularly I'm looking at the postbiotics in that product. So postbiotics help the microbiome have more variety and more robustness and deal with the stress that's probably underlying this manure issue. So I just get her to consider thinking about maybe her horse's life isn't stressful to her, but it's stressful to his microbiome. And that's what's causing that loose manure. So if we can support that microbiome, we can probably fix the problem.
Do you know what else I find is stressful for horses that we don't think about? Is I have a horse that is a very fancy, expensive, warm blood show horse, and he's in his own paddock. And I think because I told him, I said, listen, if you weren't so fancy and awesome, you would have friends, but you can't have friends because you're a fancy show horse. At least you get turnout, you know? But I think that being by themselves can be stressful, but then also I have 6 other geldings out in a field together, and I see them stressing each other out all the time. Like, guys, can we just all play nice? So I think no matter what you do, if they're in a herd or they're by themselves, there is stress in that as well.
Oh, there absolutely is. And you know, it's, I do think that being socially isolated for horses is hard and is stressful. You know, I have 5 fancy show horses, and they all live together in a herd, mares and geldings, and they certainly can get playful, and there's bites and there's kicks and those things that happen. For me, that's natural for them. I do separate them to feed because it seems that feeding time is when the stress really happens. But mm-hmm. I think we just can't, we cannot anymore. Even if you have land, even if you have a bunch of horses, you know, in the wild, they would form their herd group. And if somebody didn't get along, they'd go find another herd group, right? They would all be related to each other. They would kick the young colts out to go and find another band. It would mostly be mares together and then one stallion. So we wouldn't really have this whole gelding game issue. All of that stuff is different. It's different from nature. It's maybe the best that we can do, but it is still underlying stress, and it is affecting them physiologically, and it is affecting their gut health. So even though we're doing the best we can, sometimes we need to provide a little bit of extra support. It's just the way it is, unfortunately.
I'm going to jump in with a question for me, because you mentioned foals, and I was wondering, is Poseidon okay for foals? I have he's 5 months old. He was a nurse mare foal that I adopted about a month ago, and he was with his mom until he came to me. But he's got kind of a big belly, and I've dewormed him, and that herd dynamic of stress plays out. I've had to now separate him and his little buddy off to the side, because there were some other ones who were like, you're my little baby, you know, that was kind of stressful for him. So is that something that is okay for foals, or is there an age limit for Poseidon?
Yep. So digestive HP, which is our everyday complete gut health supplement, that's fine from weaning time. And you're just going to feed that based on weight. And then the other product I actually really like to use in younger horses is the stress paste. I use that in mares and foals as I'm weaning, because I think no matter how you do it, and I've weaned a lot of foals, I've tried the slow method, I've tried cold turkey, I've tried one at a time. It's always stressful. Being separated from your mother at a young age is just stressful. It's part of life, and it would happen in the wild too, but it would happen very differently. And we know that that affects the horse physiologically, and that definitely affects their microbiome. So I really like to use the stress paste in that weaning period. And anytime we're changing, you know, our young horses, they go through so much change. They'll often be born on one farm, then maybe weaned and go to another farm. And then maybe as a yearling, they'll go somewhere else. And then maybe at two or three, they go somewhere else to get trained. And it seems like these very young horses are experiencing the most stress. And then you might get to be a 15-year-old gelding and you live somewhere every day and you never move and everything's easy. But the young horses, it just seems like change after change after change. And I think supporting their gut health from a young age is super important and sets them up for a much better life and a much healthier life. So absolutely, okay. I'm all about gut health in the babies.
Okay, perfect. Next question is, we're going to head to the bottom of the horse. My drafts are all barefoot and with good feet. The Shire gelding and Clydesdale gelding both have mild chronic progressive lymphedema. Well-managed magic cream potion, blah, blah, blah. Both grow a lot of frog. I guess sulcus thrush is pretty common on CPL and drafts. I have been treating with the purple stuff. It's been very dry, but still lots of frog into the central and collateral sulcus. It smells bad. I feel bad for them, though neither are lame or seem uncomfortable. I pull off or trim dead frog tissue very conservatively, but any magic tricks for this or a good visual on how I can help better?
Excellent. I actually love this question because it's not about gut health. I think that what the listener is saying is that the thrush, there's still lots of thrush in the central and collateral sulcus, not lots of frog. That's what I'm going with. Okay. And it's interesting because most people think that thrush only happens in wet environments. So
yeah, that's what I thought. That's why this one confused me a little, actually.
Yep. So what happens, particularly in horses with big or upright feet, where there's sort of an actual lot of foot, in dry weather, the foot contracts, right? So, you know, hooves are alive and they live and breathe just like any other part of the horse, and they prefer not too wet, but also not too dry. So we want that hoof to be a little bit soft so that it can expand and contract as the horse moves. When we're in particularly dry environments, or if horses are in very clean, very dry stables a lot, the hoof actually gets too dry and it contracts, which means that as the horse moves, it's not able to expand and open up those sulci to the air. So thrush are anaerobic bacteria, so they thrive where there's no air. So what it means is that in those sulci, it is actually still wet. We're not getting enough air in there, even though outside it's dry. And the fact that it's dry is making the horse almost contract and protect those thrushy areas. So I had a beautiful warm blood gelding that I imported from Germany when I was in vet school, and he had a very clubby foot, and I struggled with thrush on this horse, particularly in the central sulcus of the frog, to the point that I embarrassingly MRI'd this horse for thrush because the horse was lame. It blocked to the foot. We x-rayed the feet. We couldn't find anything. We did an MRI. We couldn't find anything. Eventually, I took him to a different farrier and he took his hoof knife and cut right up into the sulcus of that frog. He said, "Your horse has a ton of thrush." We put a block in there into the sulcus of the frog and the horse was sound. It was very embarrassing.
You're making me feel better because, like, every once in a while you call the vet and you're like, he has a bruise. Like,
So
vet students can do that too. Gotcha.
Absolutely. It was great learning for me. And what this farrier taught me was these kind of horses that have particularly deep sulci, and if you've got dry feet, you might actually need to get in there and open those sulci up with a hoof knife. We used to do it once a week on my big boy. So this sort of trimming every 4 to 6 to 8 weeks, it's not enough. It's enough for the shape of the hoof maybe, but it's not enough to keep the sulcus open. And you'll often find that the heel bulbs will grow over and actually trap the thrush inside that frog. So I used to get my farrier, he'd just stop in as he was driving by once a week and he'd take the hoof knife, and you can do it yourself if you're handy with a hoof knife, but just open up all those sulci. The purple stuff's great. I think that's a great option, but it's just about keeping those areas more exposed to the air and not letting it go so long without opening them up.
I'd like to make a comment. She says, my drafts are all barefoot and with good feet. I had Percherons. They never had good feet. So good for you.
You're doing something right.
No, it sounds like she's absolutely doing something right. And I wanted to answer this question because people think it's dry, my horse can't have thrush. And I was absolutely the person that MRI'd a horse for thrush in dry environment with good feet.
That's
so
good to know.
You're not alone.
Yeah, and I don't think we knew that.
Yeah, you can definitely, you can have thrush anytime. And it's more about the environment inside of the hoof than the environment outside.
Okay, Dr. Aaron, last question. My gelding doesn't drink much water despite adding salt and sometimes electrolytes to his food after a harder ride. We were at a clinic. He took a sip of water while our other horse downed a couple of buckets during the day. I've tried adding Replenimash, apples, electrolytes, molasses, none of which help much. His poop does look normal. I've tried different colored buckets too, which is such a weird thing, but it totally
happens.
It is true,
though.
He prefers blue. It won't touch the water in a red bucket. Do you have any extra suggestions to get him to drink?
Oh, this is a great question, and I get questions about drinking all the time. I think the listener's obviously trying really hard. The one thing I would mention is we need to make sure that we're adding salt plus or minus electrolytes days in advance of the hard ride, not just after the hard ride. Horses are, while I love them dearly, they are not the best designed animals. And so once they get dehydrated, they don't want to eat and they don't want to
drink.
There's
our pull quote for the day right there. That quote right there is going to pull that out. We're going to play that all the time.
So we need to make sure that we're actually keeping them well hydrated in advance of potentially getting them dehydrated. So let's make sure we're doing the salt and the electrolytes on the lead up to the harder ride, not just after. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with training your horse to drinking different flavors of water, because if you're out somewhere and the water tastes different, again, poorly designed animals, the horse is like, this water smells different, it tastes different, I don't want to drink it. So
I'd
if we can
die.
Make the... I'd rather die than drink water that smells different. Again, not a well-designed animal. So if we can train them to drink a flavored water at home, I've had a lot of people have success with apple cider vinegar, actually, and their horses get to like that flavor. If this horse isn't liking the Replenimash and the apples and all the other things, some horses do really like it. It's only a little bit, but the apple cider vinegar has such a particular taste. It will overcome the smell of any weird water. Another thing I've done a lot with my horses, I had horses in Australia, and we had what we call bore water, which is basically well water. And we would go to a show in town where they had town water and they didn't like the water. And a cowboy actually told me to mix a handful of dirt in the water and the horses drank it right up because they were used to water that was either out of a dam or out of a well and it smelled like dirt. So a little handful of dirt sometimes works really well. And the other thing I wanted to just mention is we actually make a product at Poseidon Animal Health called Stress Pace, and it is magic for getting horses to eat and drink when they're out. It has betaine in it, which is an osmolite that actually keeps the hydration in the gut. And then it also has B vitamins and pectin, which coats the stomach. And a lot of times the reason horses don't want to drink is they're either uncomfortable in their tummy or they're stressed, and drinking for them is a vulnerable experience. It seems strange to us, but for a horse to actually relax and put their head down and drink can feel vulnerable. And so if they're stressed out and worried, they may not want to do that. So by actually dealing with the physiological stress, they might feel more comfortable. So I'd try a bunch of those different tips, but certainly keep on it and try to keep them hydrated ahead of dehydration. Don't wait till dehydration has kicked in to try to catch up.
Perfect. As always, you are a wealth of knowledge and you have such a wonderful way of explaining things, and we really appreciate your time. And you can find Erin, she's on Facebook and all the places, and the website is PoseidonAnimalHealth.com.
Daily Dose Equine offers a full line of handcrafted horse feeds to maximize the health and performance of horses and ponies of all ages. Each custom feed has been developed with whole grains and non-GMO ingredients to eliminate the risk of herbicide contamination. They are horse people themselves, and they have seen firsthand the difference that superior nutrition can render in their equine partners. At Daily Dose Equine, they never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. Learn more at DailyDoseEquine.com. And you can get Daily Dose at Chewy. Just have it shipped for free to your house. That's how we do it. And then you can also get it at Tractor Supply now, so you can find it there. DailyDoseEquine.com.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
Yes, it's the time of the week where I share with you all of the news stories that you guys have found while reading through whatever, however you get your news. If you're ever looking through it and you see something that you're like, whoa, that's super weird, email it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. Just like Shelly, Charlotte, Beth, Katie, Amanda, Stephanie, a different Stephanie, Nicole, and Laureen. Now, one of the Stephanies sent me a story that, again, I love it when they start with, I know you can't do this on the show, but I just had to comment on that story. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay, first story. We are going to start in Thompsonville, Kentucky. That's right. We're going to go to Kentucky, Glenn, because a Monroe County woman, well, she got arrested. She's in jail. So apparently she was out at a bar with her friends and somebody who was walking out saw her, or somebody hit her vehicle, which at that time was a horse. So she's at a bar on a horse and she smacked the horse. And so somebody called the police. The police come running out, driving out, and they're like, hey, get off your horse. And she goes to dismount the horse, which, as they say, I love what they said, that she had a hard time. Oh, I got to find that part. But anyway, she, 25 years old, they observe her sitting on the horse's back. They smell alcohol. They realize she's drunk. And here's the words that they said. Hill was unable to maintain her balance on her own when exiting the horse.
I haven't been drunk and had that problem, though.
How can you say you're not a horse person without saying yes. You're not a horse person?
Yes, yes.
She didn't exit the horse properly. I guess she fell off as she was getting off the horse. And so then they're like, hey, you got to come with us. Well, I mean, it could have been fine, Kaylee, if you just would have gone with them. But no, what does she have to do? She decides to fight all the police officers.
Oh.
She starts punching and kicking them, and then they go to grab her, and she used what they called used dead weight to keep the officers from placing her into a cruiser. By the way, that's the best way to resist kidnapping or arrest, is just to lay down like you're dead, and then they can't carry you anywhere. However, she was transported to jail, and she remains on charges of 2 counts of third-degree assault to a police officer and operating a non-motor vehicle under the influence. I just saw a t-shirt, and it's like, hey, you can't get DUI if you're on a horse. Well, apparently you can. You can. You can go to jail for riding drunk. Stay on your property.
In Kentucky, that's a surprise, though, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well,
that's kind of a surprise. She would have been okay if she wouldn't have started hitting all of them. And well, we start in Kentucky, but now we have to move down to Florida because Kyle, my vet, was asleep around 2 a.m. on Wednesday when security cameras notified him of somebody breaking into his truck, and they're in Cape Coral.
Is it vet, like a horse animal vet?
No, his name is Kyle Myvett, M-Y-V-E-T-T.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I give his name because he didn't do something stupid. Okay. He's a hero, Glenn.
Okay, all right. Finally, we have a Florida man that's a hero?
I know. He says, I was sleeping. My wife was coming out of the bathroom, and she noticed an alert on my phone. So she woke him up. He saw the alert. He's like, there's somebody outside. So he jumps out of bed and he sees somebody in his car rummaging through his truck. And then he sees the suspect leave his truck and then run into his neighbor's open garage. Okay, people, close your garages and lock your car doors. Apparently, the police determined that the suspect had broken into multiple vehicles, stole glass, sunglasses, money, wallets, gift cards. So people apparently in Cape Coral just leave their car doors open and their wallets in the cars. So here's a tip. Don't do that. Now, why is he a hero? Because he ran outside and he's like, stop. And he jumps on the perpetrator, wrestles him to the ground, has his wife call the police, and he's laying on top of him until the police come. And the police come and he stands up and he's still in his pajamas. He's still wearing his pajamas. This grown-ass man, do you know what kind of pajamas he was wearing?
Oh, please tell me a Spider-Man.
Full-size Batman onesie, baby!
I'll settle for Batman.
Chad, come look at this picture and tell us what you see in this picture. So my husband
So Batman
here.
Saved the day?
Batman.
Why are they all smiling?
So he's surrounded in the picture by two police, flanked by police officers, and it's this giant brother in a Batman onesie.
Oh, this poor guy's going to go to prison and have to tell that story. He's going to be beat up so bad, this guy.
Oh, it's so great. Chad's like, look at the utility belt on his pajamas. It's so lifelike.
To be honest, does Chad have a Batman onesie?
He does not have a Batman onesie, okay. But he does have Spider-Man undies.
Okay, there you go. Perfect.
But the title of the article, by the way, is Man Wearing Batman Pajamas Nabs Burglary Suspect Before Police Arrived. And do you know why he goes with Batman? He's like, the reason I don't have a Superman pajamas is because he's kind of, you know, you're impervious and invincible. That means you're not really brave. So
oh.
He likes the bravery of Batman.
I think the real bravery would be Chad running down the criminal in just his Spider-Man boxers. I think that'd be the real brave one. All right, next one. Oh, wait a minute. I got to play it again. There we go.
I got sent so many world records. Remember how we talked about last week that there's like all these Guinness Book of World. It's like the 70th anniversary. And there was like a ton of unfulfilled records that have not been broken. So I guess people just really got to work on him in the last week. And I mean, I got news stories of a guy who got hit in the face 98 times with a wet sponge in 1 minute. Like, why would you? It's stupid stuff like that. But I would like to point out that this man is, I mean, he's bringing it. He's from Connecticut, and he earned a Guinness World Record when he had 3,569 pairs of Crocs. That's right. His name is Doogie Sand Tiger. Has a fondness for footwear, and it began at the age of 16. He made a list of goals in a journal when he was 16, and he wanted to have a collection of shoes. So he said on his collection of shoes, he would like to collect at least 300 pairs of Crocs. Well, he decided he was going to seek a Guinness Book of World Record for his collection in 2023 when he surpassed 2,000 pairs. Then that wasn't enough. He kept collecting, even though he already had the title, then got 3,569 Crocs in 2024. But now he says he should re-up it because he now has 3,800 pairs of Crocs.
Is there that many different Crocs or does he have duplicates?
That's what I said. Do you know what he wants to do now? He wants to open a Crocsium, like a museum for Crocs.
What else do you do with 3,800 pairs of Crocs?
And what else are you going to do if your name is Doogie Sand Tiger?
You know, if only he was collecting like Nike sneakers, he'd be worth a fortune. But he went with Crocs. You know why he went with Crocs? Because when he was that age, it's all he could afford.
Exactly. He said that he was really slow learning how to tie his shoes, so he just wore Crocs all the time. So I don't even know if he could still tie his shoes.
I was doing random reels on Instagram, and I came across this lady who goes to these shoe conventions, you know, sneaker conventions. My God, they'll pay $5,000 for a pair of sneakers. It's craziness. Mm-hmm. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's insane. Well, so it's having 3,000 pairs of Crocs.
I want to know if they're all different.
All right, well, we're going to get
questions.
You can look at the video. Would you like me to send you the link?
Because yes, I want to know.
It's a YouTube video. Just Google YouTube Croc King Guinness Book of World Records.
That's how many Crocs they sell. There's 3,800 different varieties of Crocs. You know, colors and stuff.
And are they all name brand? Or are they like Costco Crocs?
Oh, yeah, they're not good. Yeah, I don't know.
Can't go cheap on Crocs. All right, well, this time we're going to go to Chicago because, oh, poor Elaine Perez Pena was traveling from Brazil and she had a layover in Chicago. Well, she gets out of the airplane and she's got a motorized scooter. Poor sweet old lady is on a motorized scooter and she's driving her personal motorized scooter through the airport. She's on her way to Newark, but she had to lay over in Chicago and she was driving her little scooter through the airport. And a drug dog was alerted to something on her presence. Now, she was also carrying a suitcase on the back. So the drug dog was just walking through the airport and was like, hey, I smell something right over there. And so the police take her suitcase and they're like, this is, we got to go through your suitcase. And they look through the suitcase and there was nothing there. There was nothing there, Glenn. But then they started doing a little research on this passenger. Turns out poor sweet little lame Perez Pena has been arrested for smuggling drugs into the United States, specifically cocaine in the past. Now, she is, as what we know,
she should have cleaned her bag.
She's never been successful. Yeah, you would think she would probably clean her bag off or get a new bag. So they take the bag and they're looking all through it and they're like, there's nothing there. And then as they take the bag away, the dog's like, nope, it's not in the bag. It's not in the bag.
Oh, no.
It starts alerting to the wheelchair. This dumbass had put 14 kilograms of cocaine in the seat cushions of her motorized wheelchair.
Like nobody was going to notice that.
I mean, so she's driving around. I guess the dog was like, hello, there's something right here. She said, but I can't get up when they were going to look at it. My leg hurts. I hurt my leg. And then she said, you know what? I need to use the restroom. And so she starts wheeling her way over to the bathroom. And the police are like, oh, you have to go to the bathroom? Okay, well, we're going to get you.
We'll help you with that.
Again, they ended up having to send her wheelchair through the x-ray machine. And they noticed that the cushions appeared fairly new. Mm. And they noticed some anomalies in the colors.
Yeah, the bricks of cocaine.
It turns out they stuck a knife into the seat cushion.
Ooh, yeah, really. And white powder poof, came out. Yeah.
This giant puff of white powder comes out. She apparently has a history of previous convictions for importing cocaine. So hopefully there is now 14 kilos less of cocaine in the United States.
I've been watching a lot of Australian Border Force. So I've been seeing a lot of where they hide this stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah.
They're getting very creative where they hide it.
I know. I was watching one of those because now you've got me hooked on that. It's like we talked about it, and now my algorithm just searches for all the
Asians with
things.
The food that come in, the weird ass food they bring into the country. It's so
weird. There was one. It was just this young girl, and she was traveling by herself with a backpack to Australia. And they're like, obviously that's suspicious. Guys, pack a bag. Even if it's empty, just pack a bag. So they're like, why are you coming in? And they search her backpack, and there's nothing there. And she can't really provide a reason. And they're like, Something is alerting them to drugs. And they're like, well, we've searched the backpack. Time for a body cavity search. And she's like, oh, okay, never mind. I have
I'm out.
9 pounds of marijuana up my butt. Oh, God.
Yeah, the food ones are the ones that really are something else. Everybody complains about United States immigration, everything being tough right now. We ain't nothing like Australia. Australia's the toughest there is. Anyway. Sir. Hey, I got a good story to end the day, and then auditors, hang on. Oh, by the way, where do they send their weird news for next week?
You can send it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com, and if you hear the coughing in the background, that's my sweet angel with kind of cough.
And also get your ads in to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com for really bad ads on Friday. Hey, before we go, I wanted to mention to the auditors, we are having one of our auditors on. Jessica's going to join us. She's our resident artist, and we're going to chat with her about what plight she's in currently. But before we do that, I got to mention two horses, George and Elizabeth, who were given to the late Queen Elizabeth by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. George, a 25-year-old gelding, was gifted in 2009 and served as a ceremonial charger, taking part in significant events such as the Trooping of the Colour and the funerals of both the Queen and King Charles' coronation. Elizabeth, a 17-year-old mare, was a Diamond Jubilee gift in 2012 and had a career with the Metropolitan Police. Well, they both retired, and they had a huge ceremony. It was very royal. They had a huge ceremony that took place at the Horse Trust's Horse and Hounds and Heroes event, where their saddles were removed for the last time, and both horses will now live out their time at the Horse Trust, joining other retired royal horses. Aww. So they had quite a career. They got to do some of the biggest events in England, and now they're retired. So good job, George and Elizabeth. Enjoy your retirement.
All right, everybody. Enjoy your retirement and spay, neuter, or guilt.